The Daily Douchebag Pledge.
Two douchebags and a microphone pledge. I, Joe or Jane listener, hereby promise to download every show. I, Joe or Jane listener, hereby promise to grab family members' phones and download the show from there. I, Joe or Jane listener, hereby promise to go to public computers and download the show from there. I, Joe or Jane listener, hereby promise to laugh at all the unfunny jokes. I, Joe or Jane listener, hereby promise to lie to all my friends and tell them how good the show is. And finally, I, Joe or Jane listener, promise to visit Montrose, Missouri to take advantage of the power plant, campgrounds, and junkyard all within its quarter mile radius.
Here at Two Douchebags and a Microphone, we don't stand behind our journalistic integrity. Go ahead and assume we got the story wrong. At least we admit it. Not like all those other guys, we can and will lie if it makes the story better.
Two douchebags and a microphone.
We talk.
And now, Deep Thoughts with Mark.
So, if I have a glass of ice water, and the ice melts into the water, is my water then watered down? I may never know.
Brussels, Belgium. How the fuck are you? You guys rock. Listening from the other side of the globe. We love you. Two douchebags and microphones salute you. Thank you for listening.
At age 30, you've spent a month celebrating birthdays.
Two douchebags and microphone, in an effort to keep everything fresh, we offer you first world problems.
Oh shit! Look at that drive-thru wine! Surely we don't expect me to actually have to go in. This sucks.
Invisible ass paddlings, new douche flavors, and horrible pranks? The fuck is wrong with these guys?
Two douchebags and a microphone. I'm Mark.
And I'm Rob.
So, Rob, how you doing today?
Actually, I'm a little tired today. I ended up working this morning. From 7 to noon, but, you know, I'll take the extra money.
That's cool. Yep. Might as well. I had a pretty busy day. This morning, I didn't work today. I took it off because I had a couple things to do. First thing, 10 a.m., Topher's wife was nice enough to buy me and Topher, I think for a Christmas present pretty much, a ticket to the Kansas City Mob Tour. And it was, yeah, it was really good. It was better than I thought it would be, for real. A lot of information I didn't know, and I'm pretty much an historian on stuff like that, activity on that. It's always fascinated me, and I grew up in a heavily... I guess it would be mob influenced area, you know, Northeast Kansas City, where a lot of that stuff occurred. You know, I lived there when I was younger, and a lot of that stuff happened up there, and, you know, it was over there near the city market and the River Key and all that stuff. And I've always been somewhat fascinated with it because, you know, I knew a lot of that stuff happened up there where I used to live at the, you know, when I was that age. I obviously knew a little bit about it, but not to the depth of what was going on. So anyhow, it was fun, and I got some stuff that that I have down that I could go to. But you know what? I'll probably do that maybe next. We'll see how this podcast goes first, and if I have time, I'll talk about it a little bit and some of the high points of it. If not, then we'll probably do it tomorrow. That sound good?
Sounds good.
But first, I got to start off with this before we do the first third. Topher and I observed, on the way to the mob tour, a molehawk. You ever hear of a molehawk?
Just a haircut. That's a mohawk.
Well, it's a name that we made up. On the way to the mob tour this morning, we observed a molehawk. This guy had a mohawk mullet. Not kidding.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. It was crazy. We wanted to turn around and take another see at him, but we were on the schedule. So that was pretty interesting. And then after that, we were coming back, and I read where a man survived a grizzly bear attack with a .22 caliber. The guy he shot in the knee, however, did not survive. Oh, that's a pretty good one. So, all right. So, Al Michaels will once again be at the Olympics. Kind of. The longtime play-by-play broadcaster will not actually be in Paris, but his AI-generated voice will be doing the recaps. Can you believe that? Al Michaels will not be there, but his AI...
I can't believe it.
His AI-generated voice is going to stand in for him. I mean, how does that work? Go ahead, what?
He better get a paycheck somewhere.
That's what I'm saying is, I bet you they paid him.
His voice.
Yeah, I mean, is this going to be the new norm? Or, you know, if someone goes, I don't really want to go to Paris, but I give you permission to duplicate my voice and do it. Interesting how this is panning out. Al Michaels is actually the first person I heard of doing that. I heard that it was a possibility coming up that, one of the things that I heard was the possibility of regenerating and recreating the Rush Limbaugh show was the first one I heard about. I don't know if that's true or not. I read it. And, of course, you know, I mean, he had quite a following. I guess they would, you know, do voice samples and then the AI would come up with his own subjects, maybe. I would listen to it at least once. Then after that, I don't know. It depends on how it, you know, it could be really good or it could be horrible. Who knows? But it's a very intriguing subject that all I can say is, stay tuned. They're doing it to Al Michaels. Let's see who's next. Right? I mean...
Right.
Yeah, okay. So, McDonald's has been getting a lot of flack lately. So, I have a plan to get people...
I usually do.
Well, they... I have a story where... people are saying their new $5 meal. One guy showed a screen capture of it that it was actually $13 when they got... time, and other people are saying it's well over six and that it's a lie. I don't know. I haven't been there. This is all hearsay and it's been all over the internet. So anyhow, McDonald's been getting a lot of flack lately. I have a plan to get people to soften up on the burger chain. Every restaurant should have an AI generated Al Michaels greet the customer at the drive thru. Wouldn't that be cool? How you life? You
yeah,
come up?
It.
Yeah, you come up and Al Michaels goes, hey there, what would you like today? I can't do his voice. He's got a very distinct one, but anyhow, you could just insert his voice and imagine him greeting you and going, you know, hey, thanks for coming by McDonald's. What can we do for you? Or whatever. So, anyhow, it'd sit there and he'll take your order. So, you know, I think that'd be a great way. There you go, guys.
That'd be a great idea, too.
Yeah, we solve problems here. That's what we do, right, Rob?
Always.
Yeah. Yep. So, anyhow, I personally want an interview with AI Al Michaels. I'm hoping it would go on a tangent about buttered sausage. Wouldn't that be cool?
That'd be awesome.
Yes. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, Google buttered sausage. That's all you got to do. And you will see. Yeah. So you'll know exactly what I'm talking about if you Google it. Speaking of the largest burger chain, people are outraged at some stores. The meal allegedly cost more than $5. One person snapped a pic of the meal costing $13. And like I said, I don't know if this is true. This is stuff on the internet. It was like 13-something altogether, and he claimed that that's what his $5 value meal cost after they added in everything. But I don't know what they could add in. I don't quite understand it. But he showed a picture of this $5 value meal and $13. So, I don't know. You can look it up yourself and make your own conclusion. And then people are saying it's more in the range of $6-something altogether, and they're pissed. They're like, no, they have a bunch of tic-tac charges that they put on it, and people are saying it's a scam. I don't know if it's true. This is what I've been reading, so, you know. But here, I got a better idea. I've been saying this for a long time now, and I think you backed me up on it, Rob. You can go to a nice cafe for $13 and get a much better high-quality meal, right?
Yes, we've talked about that.
Yeah, you're in the same ballpark, $13, $14, $12, whatever it costs to get your Egg McMuffin, your hash rounds, and a drink, you're probably not that far off. So what you do is you do yourself a favor, you add in another couple of bucks, and you go straight to a cafe, some greasy spoon around you, and you'll get a much higher grade of food for a couple of bucks more. To me, that makes more sense, right?
Yeah.
Yep. If you can stand the coffee at most cafe houses, even the best cafes, I still cannot the coffee. I think they use that. I think it's called Necco Coffee, N-E-C-C-O. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I think it's that stuff, and I don't think I like it at all. I think I would rather drink Folgers or Maxwell House than that, and I don't like those guys either. I mean, a lot of people grew up on that coffee. I know I was around it for a long time. I used to like it, but then they started coming out with better coffees, and, you know, I just don't like it anymore, but, you know. Okay. So, anyhow, I just normally, you know, do that. I'd rather just go to a cafe instead of waste some money at a place. You know, the new price scuffle has a brand new whole meaning to the phrase punching the clown, right?
Yeah.
Punching the clown used to mean something else, right?
Yeah, it did.
Yeah. Well, now it means striking back at McDonald's. So there you go. Punch the clown, guys and girls, I guess. Okay, so all these streaming services available on Paramount, Disney, Hulu, Netflix. Well, little old YouTube is the top spot 12 months in a row now. 12 months in a row, YouTube has taken the cake out of all of them. So yes, pimple popping and dudes getting smacked in the nuts are still popular. This is why America can't have nice things, Rob. This is why. So, anyhow, okay. Next, we're on to, all right, now you need new teeth? No problem, guys. Scientists can now grow new teeth with a pill. Not kidding you.
All right.
They have a pill that grows new teeth for people. Now, it's very expensive to this, but implants are very expensive and a huge time-taking pain in the ass. I mean, what a nice invention, you know. You got candy corn looking smile, and then you want nice even road teeth. Don't have the cash, you can get those nasty gray looking nubs yanked out and then take a pill. I think that's great. I mean, that is...
Someone did that, didn't they?
Yeah. I mean, I'm a little fun with it, but man, it's a great idea. Yeah, I love this invention, but I wish they could regrow brains in the same manner. Wouldn't that be great?
Someone, that would be awesome.
Oh, right, yeah.
It would be.
We could hold people down and stick that pill in their mouth. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. Imagine the fun we'd have, Rob. We'd just be waiting at the corner and go, hey, Rob, 12 o'clock. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I got the pill. Go jump on his back, Mark. Yeah. Hell yeah. And then once they grow brains back, you know, they probably won't mess with you. They'll be like, oh, hey, thank you, man. Now, you know, now I can live like a regular human and not like a Neanderthal. So, it's a win-win.
Yeah.
You know, I would put up a GoFundMe for some idiots, wouldn't you? You see,
yeah,
some,
I think I would too.
Yeah. It'd be like, I'd get like a little video of the said idiot and go, look, this guy needs it so bad. please, please, give from the bottom of your heart so stupid fuck won't be stupid fuck anymore. Come on, guys, look at him. He can't even scratch his ass. Look at this guy. He obviously needs it. So, anyhow. I know I would put up a good fund me for that place by the Blue River that I used to work. Every one of them motherfuckers needs one of these pills. That's right, guys. I'm still bagging on you. Subwoofer is everywhere. All right. So, so go gargle sack. So anyhow. Now, NASA has now forced Elon Musk, SpaceX, to deorbit NASA. Reportedly, they got the idea of the space station crashing from the self-driving cars Elon rolled out. Too soon?
Too soon.
Too soon. So, that is a very abbreviated edition of the first third. So, Rob, we want to hear from you a little bit more tonight. Please go for it.
Yeah, actually, somebody emailed me because they couldn't get our email to go.
Hey, I'm working on it. Listen, and I got a couple of emails where people think that I'm not responding to them anymore. They obviously didn't listen to the last broadcast. I'm having problems with it. I'm only getting about half of the emails. And then when I try to send out a reply, it won't do it at all. So, right now, I'm busy. I just switched phones, like everyone knows that listens to this thing. I'm trying to get my Ring cameras to work first. That's more important. After that, I will figure this out. But like I said, it's like everything else, a matter of time, which I don't have a lot of.
Yeah.
So anyhow, yeah. Rob, go ahead about this email, please.
It says, "Dear Douchebags, I'm writing you today to thank you for doing a story about Sealand. I took such a big interest, as you know, and did a little research, and eventually became a count. Just to bring you up to date, I recently advanced to a Duke of Sealand. Your show has inspired me in my life to do something I never imagined myself doing. Keep up the good work, and may your show continue to bring entertainment to all that are listening. Most sincerely, Rob Rad's brother, Duke of Sealand."
We need to get him on, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
We need to get him on. Yeah, I would love to hear from him. Thank you, Rob Rad's brother, Duke of Sealand. I mean, I wish I could get your emails. Like I said, I'm working on it, so yeah. Sorry. I don't know how many times he probably tried to send that thing, but I apologize.
Yeah, he turned around and ended up sending it to me. He said, "Here, read this." Okay, I got you.
Okay, good. Well, he listened to the last program, so he's not motherfucking me on a couple of emails like some other people are doing.
No, he's not. He's not.
So, anyhow.
Okay, on another note.
Yes.
A homeowner in Indiana caught a 74-year-old woman pooping on the side of his house twice.
Okay.
The first time, last month, he saw her on his lawn and later realized that she'd left him a gift. He adjusted his surveillance cameras to that spot, and a few weeks later, she came back and did it again. This time, the act was caught on camera in broad daylight, and he took it to the police. The lady pooper is a retiree who lives in the area, and get this.
Uh-huh.
She's a board member on the neighborhood HOA.
The housing authority board member is shitting on this guy's lawn.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
The police confronted her, and she initially denied it was her, but she later admitted to it when they showed her the footage. She told deputies she had no vendetta against the homeowner. She just had to use the restroom.
Two times?
There may be more to it. The homeowner admitted he does have an ongoing issue with the neighborhood HOA, but he doesn't know any members of the HOA personally and didn't know this woman was connected to it.
So the homeowners association, let me get this right.
Yeah.
He's having problems with him. This lady is a board member on there, and she shit on his lawn a couple times, but he was unaware of her? He didn't know her to be that, or what? Is that what it said?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
She has since stepped down. She has been charged with 3 misdemeanors. Criminal trespass, criminal mischief, and public nudity.
they got everything they could get her with, so that's cool.
Yeah.
Wow, it sounds like a good time for rat traps. You know how I said we used to put them in people's beds? Yeah. Put them all over your lawn. That'd work. You hear a couple of snapping and some chick fucking grabbing her crotch and running off. That's what you get for taking a dump on my lawn, chick.
Yeah, it is.
Yep. So, wow. Okay. Is that all this story?
Yeah, that was it on that.
Okay. I got some ass paddlings when we come back. You want to hear some ass paddlings?
Sure.
Yeah, hell yeah. We're always in the mood to paddle asses here at Two Douchebags and Microphone. Yeah, and a couple of them are bare-assed. How about that, Rob?
Oh, even better yet.
Bonus. All right, we'll be right back.
A lot of podcasts just come from a can. Here at Two Douchebags and a Microphone, we pour our own podcasts.
The apocalypse just happened. You don't know what to do. You don't know where to go. But we can tell you what you can eat.
Hi all, this is Mark here. I'm usually the one telling you what to eat during an apocalypse. Well, this time I decided to go the other way. You ever consider just going to ground zero and saying, fuck it? Do you really want to be the guy running around looking for radioactive deer, guessing whether water is not contaminated or not, no food, no shelter, no nothing? Oh no, there's a strong argument that says, you know what, let's just go to ground zero and see what's for us after. Just a thought.
Hey, look, I think we found land. Oh my god, I think we're safe. Oh no! It's the island of horrible jokes.
Why do golfers take an extra pair of socks with them when they golf? In case they get a hole in one.
Attention! Attention! Kansas City, Missouri, in Kansas, home of the trees! We love you! Two Douchebags and Microphone salute you, Kansas City. Thank you for listening.
Next up, things overheard in hell.
Dishwalla has the top 10 spots on Billboard Hot 100.
Please remember to go to Cole's dressing room, wait 5 minutes and scream, hey, there's no toilet paper in here.
This is Chicago. I am the most dangerous city in North America. You can't touch me.
Oh yeah? This is Kansas City here. Hold my beer, bitch.
Your mama is like the sun. Big, round, and hard to look at.
Two Douchebags and Microphone. I'm Mark.
And I'm Rob.
We have some ass paddlings, Rob. Some people have done some stupid shit, so therefore we have to produce our monthly ass paddlings, or maybe not quite monthly. So, most people have heard the story, but we're going to go into it again because that's what I do. This originated about the fourth podcast we'd ever done, and this was with Topher, the first co-host. And Topher's still around. He's probably producing another segment for us. So he'll be in there in the future here somewhere. So him and I were on vacation, and we're walking on beach. The sun was shining in our hair. It was the sun was coming up as morning, gentle ocean waves crashing, and the sunlight was glistening over us. It was just great. And we're not holding hands like Rob and his brother always suggest. We're just having a tender moment. Two guys can have a tender moment without holding hands, Rob. Right?
I'm not so sure.
So anyhow, all of a sudden, I hit something. I'm like, oh, shit. You know, my toe's hurting. Look down there. It looked like a Janie's bottle. So walk over there. And Tover's like, hey, that looks like a Genie's bottle. I'm like, hey, it is not. And there's no such thing. So I go over there and I go, dude, it looks like a Genie's bottle. And he's like, yeah, no shit. So I pop open the cork and out comes the Genie. And anyhow, we're like, hey, great, we get three wishes. And the Genie rolled his eyes and he hated us. He was so condescending. He goes, no, guys, you watch too much TV. You get one wish and one wish only. You better make it count. Maybe world peace, maybe solve the pollution problem, end the wars, you know, end the cancer. And Topher and I looked at each other and said, we want to be invisible so we can ask paddle people. And the Genie hesitated. He shook his head and he rolled his eyes and he said, very well, I have to give you your wish, even though you guys are morons. So therefore, once a month, and sometimes on special occasion, not quite a month, if people have been really stupid, the Genie said we could do it more than a month. So this has been about 3 weeks, I believe, so because there's been a lot of stupidity going on. So we turn invisible, one of us has the paddle, and one of us grabs the individual who needs it or whatever. Whoever it is that needs it, they grab them, and they put them over their knee, and we ass paddle them. The paddle that we use is a replica of Old Sparky, who was in the Cast Midway trophy case last I knew. I knew that paddle very well because of various instances that I had there. It does not feel good. It's a very thick paddle with holes in it and a long stalk to where you can gather a lot of heat and steam. And that thing did hurt when it went about your bottom. So we're using Old Sparky, or a replica of Old Sparky. I assume Old Sparky is probably still in the trophy case, but if not, then I don't know. Okay, so, all right. The first ass paddling that we're giving out today is South Korean ramen noodle company Buldak for throwing too much heat in their noodles. They need it because, you know, there's kids that ate them and, you know, burning their fucking tonsils out and, you know, making people sick. I think they deserve a good ass paddling. What do you think?
Yeah, definitely.
Yep.
Definitely.
Yep. So, Buldak is getting ass paddling, and you can't get out of it, Buldak. We're going to do it here soon. Okay. The next one is Justin Bieber for having an alleged DUI. And here's why. I don't care that he was out drinking, okay? And, I mean, the driving thing, it didn't sound like he was drunk. It sounded like he had a couple drinks. But he can afford a fucking limo. That's why he gets an ass paddling. That arrogance of just jumping in a car after you had a couple of drinks and think you can get away with anything. So he is getting ass paddling not because he had a couple of drinks and got behind the wheel of a car, but because he could afford a limo and not worried about getting a DUI. But no, he had to jump behind the wheel. So therefore, not only does he have to throw a lot of money at it and have the embarrassment of getting caught, but he also gets an ass paddling. The next one that I'm giving ass paddling to, and Rob, this is with a heavy heart. And you stop me if you think I'm wrong on this, okay? Because this is gonna hit some raw nerves, yours and mine both. It already hit my raw nerve. But I've decided this has to happen, okay?
Alright.
Half of the current members of Deep Purple for being rude and snubbing Glenn Hughes and David Coverdale at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And that hurts me. You know how much I love and you love Deep Purple.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think that it is called for in ass paddling?
I do believe it's warranted, yeah.
Okay, even though we love them. Yeah, we love Deep Purple. We love their music. I've seen them in concert. I think you have too, haven't you?
Yeah, a few years back, yeah.
Okay, so we've seen them in concert, we support them, we love them, but they need an ass paddling for that. You know, everybody fucks up every now and then, so, you know, this is their warning shot. Okay, the next one that gets an ass paddling is the shooter at a store called the Mad Butcher in Fordyce, Arkansas. Just because.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, if you go on a shooting tangent and you do it at a place called the Mad Butcher, I don't know if you're being funny or if, I think it's really ironic the store is called the Mad Butcher. So, yeah, he gets an ass paddling no matter
what. Sounds like a promo we come up with.
It does, don't it? I think we might do bare ass. What do you think?
Yeah, let's go ahead.
He gets a bare ass paddling. The next one are cicadas are getting an ass paddling for their loud noises. Sound about right?
Okay.
Right. Now, we'll probably, in full disclosure, we'll probably kill them with this paddle. But we're going to attempt not to when we're paddling their ass. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Or do we have to change the rules and do I got to get a little, like, I don't know, like a toothpick-looking paddle for them? What do you think?
I don't know. We'll
get back with you, America, and other surrounding countries.
Because you're right. Old Sparky would.
It would just kill them. And we're not trying to kill them. We just want to give them a little jolt to their ass to let them know that they did wrong. So, okay, well, we're going to have to find out like a matchstick or something like that. We're going to have to use something like that on the cicadas.
Yeah.
All right. The next one are sharks are getting ass paddling because they're attacking humans at an enormous rate. I take it back. You know why? Humans in their territory. So,
right.
Yeah. I was going to give them an ass paddling because, there's a couple things going on. The Gulf of Mexico, the water is 85 degrees. It's extremely warm. It's never been that hot before. The ocean isn't circulating like it used to. And the sharks are, quite frankly, just getting pissed. You know, they're down there. It's getting hot. And I'm pretty sure they're snapping at humans because they knew we did it. Right?
Could be.
I take back my shark ass paddling. Do you agree with that or not?
Yes, I agree.
Okay. The activists that interrupted the PGA golf tournament. Wait, no. It was just golf. I retract that one, too. I want to see those golfers in their goofy little hats and goofy little pants get ass paddled. Even though they're not up for an ass paddling, the people that disrupted the activists that disrupted the golf games, yeah. I'm going to let them go because it's just, you know, it's just golf. It's not like it's a real sport. I actually think they deserve heroes medals. But that's just me.
I think they do too.
All right, okay. The person that keeps putting flyers on my car at work, I just had my brake fixed. Thank you. Flyer person, I will hunt you down. I will find you, and I will paddle you. So, as soon as I find this guy, we're paddling him, okay?
And I'm on.
All right, I'm going to go through some surveillance tapes. I'm going to find this mad flyer. I'm going to paddle him because I'm getting tired of coming, getting to my car and having a flyer on it. Yeah, I know you can just peel it off, but the fact is I shouldn't have to every afternoon. So, he gets an ass paddling as soon as I find you. Okay, all the wireless phone carriers for making it a constant maze of endless bullshit just to leave and keep your number. I'm saying bare-assed and Hall of Fame.
I knew that one was coming.
Yes. Yeah, you could feel it. So.
Yep.
Oh, and I also got to add one that I thought about. The guy in Eureka Springs that accused me of stealing his lighter fluid and everybody else, he gets a bare-ass paddling. So here's how I'm going to get him, Rob. I'm going to put I'm going to go over there and I'm going to wait till they get a brand new bottle of lighter fluid. I'm going to use every bit of it on a fire. And then I'm going to sit there and wait for him to come up. As soon as he comes up, we're going to get him with a seining net. We're going to pull his pants off, turn invisible, and smack him. That sound good?
Sounds good.
All right. And then finally, the emailer that mentioned the Bay City Rollers, and we had to talk about the Bay City Rollers. That really hurt.
It was confusing.
It was a good email. But anyhow.
Yeah, it was a good email.
Okay.
I kept getting confused between the...
Captain Antoniel and the Bay City Rollers. Me too.
Well, no. There was another band on TV at the same time as Bay City Rollers, and they were about the same style. Yeah, I was getting confused between the two.
Yeah, me too. I still don't know if we got the... I think we got the songs right. We know we did with Captain and Tennille, but I think we got the songs right with the Bay City Rollers. But anyhow, you know what? It's not like anyone else knows if we did or not, right?
I think we actually Googled them. Make sure
we did
one of their songs so we can at least give an answer.
You know what? You're right. We did. I remember. So... Anyhow, Rob, we turn to you for the next.
Okay, a mystery woman has gone viral after lifting her top for a Google Street View camera. The flasher from Barnum, Iowa, was visiting a local bar and grill when the Google Maps car drove past and she played a practical joke. While standing outside the junkyard bar and grill, the unidentified woman flashed her breast at the camera as it recorded the area. This moment has now been immortalized on Google's mapping service when users enter Street View for 324 Front Street. The tech giant initially only pixelated the woman's face before eventually blurring out her body. However, her shadow on the ground reveals exactly what she's doing. In the background, three other patrons of the restaurant can be seen watching on. One of the men joins a woman and lifts up his own shirt in solidarity.
This is good.
That's a good one. That is. Yeah, it says you go to Google Maps, see it.
Awesome, man. And I mean, can you? I don't know what a Google camera looks like. Are they? Is there any idea? Hang on.
Well,
let me see if I can find.
It says that a Google Maps car drove past.
Oh, I've seen those. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, now I know what they're talking about. Yeah, the Google car drives by and it's got a camera in it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, is that it? Is that the story right there?
Yeah, that was it on that one.
Okay.
That's enough said on that one.
Okay, yeah, that was cool. That's a really good story. I've got a little bit of the mob tour that I want to go into. Now, I've got another segment of it coming up. I just need time to do it. Obviously, I had to do this on the fly today because of a baby shower that I had to go to, and also the mob tour this morning. So, and everything else that I had to do. So, I had to do this on the fly. So, there's another segment coming up that is about famous kidnappings in Kansas City, and this was mob related. Well, kind of. Yeah, some of it is, but.
Okay.
It was a big business back in the 30s and 40s to steal people and then sell them back to the families. But a lot of times they were so vicious, these people did it, they just went ahead and killed them and just, you know, didn't care. And sometimes people gave them money and they still killed them. These were some vicious criminals that were doing this. And that part in the very famous case that kind of blew it all apart, or, well, c- kind of that was apex of it. There's a very famous case that happened in Kansas City, and I'm going to go into all of that in a future episode. I need to gather some more information that went on, go through the Kansas City archives, because the guy told us about it in broad strokes, you know, but he couldn't go in depth, obviously, because of time constraints of this tour. So this is like a little rough, a little synopsis without going into a bunch of stuff. So here it is. Went to the KC Mob tour this morning. Topher's wife was cool enough to buy us tickets to a tour. They took us around town in a nice air-conditioned bus, and the driver was the narrator. The driver and a narrator, both. Both of them were narrating, and they were really entertaining. This particular tour focused on the golden era of Prohibition and the red light districts in Kansas City. Kansas City was known at the time as an anything-goes town. And this was under boss Tom Pendergast. Everybody's heard of him. He helped get Truman in office. He had a lot of influence. So, So boss Tom Pendergast was at the top of the KC crime syndicate, and Johnny Lazea, or Lazia, I thought it was really pronounced Lazea, but I guess it's Lazia, the way they were saying. Johnny Lazia was an underboss. Boss Tom could see the climate of the people and the government and saw Prohibition on the horizon. So what he did was he bought three buildings in the southern section of downtown. One of the buildings was a Pabst Brewing Company bottling plant. So you get what he's doing there? The bottling plant?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's going to be making bootleg drinks, whiskeys probably, and putting them in these bottles and selling them. The other two buildings were converted into a penthouse suite for visitors and a posh restaurant. The Rieger Hotel, which is now a distillery and a hotel, and you can even go down to the speakeasy underneath it, and they still have some of the spider holes. And a spider hole in a speakeasy. A speakeasy is like a room. Usually they're underground. And this is illegal gambling and alcohol and red light district all happening there. So the feds would come in the front. They get word that that was a speakeasy. And, you know, they kick in the door. But it would take them time because they had several doors. So the people had time to hear them. And they would run out these spider holes. And they'd end up really quickly in an alleyway. You see? So, you know, no one would get caught. They had these spider holes all over this thing, and they tell them where they were at. They're like, okay, you run this way, you run over here, and you run through here. So the spider holes were genius because everyone would get out, and then you can't prove anything. You know, I wasn't doing anything. I was just walking down this alley. Why? What happened? So the Rieger Hotel was Al Capone's hideaway from Chicago. Whenever he was getting in too much heat, the big guy, Al Capone, would come down here to Kansas City because he done business with us all the time. Not with us, but with them. And so this was like his hideaway. He would come down here. And also Eureka Springs is another big hideaway of theirs. Or was. Pendergast owned a concrete company and he built Kansas City with it. You know, he got all the contracts. So KC Boss Tom had things like 35 feet deep runway in downtown airport. 35 feet deep. Now, why did he do that? That's a lot of concrete he sold to that downtown airport.
Yeah.
He built the levees, which are really oversized and really too... I mean, they didn't... It went above and beyond, so... He also built 35-foot deep building slabs to put new buildings on. So, there you go. That's just... It's just a little bit of the stuff they were doing. The term bootleg was during Prohibition. A person who had illegal alcohol usually had a flask strapped to the bottom of his leg. So, that would go with the term bootlegging. Slicey Solly was a nickname of an enforcer. He carried an 8-inch knife that was razor sharp. Slicey Solly was one reason a couple of corners in Columbus Park District that were called Death Corner. This is where many people that were in the way just disappeared. Lazio went in to the soft drink business a little bit later with a drink called Golden Mist. And I've actually seen a can of it. A guy that I knew a long time ago had a can of it. It was horrible, but every place pretty much had to sell it because why? If you didn't, you're probably going to end up something bad happening to you or your family or something. So everybody sold it around town, and it was supposedly horrible. It was just horrible tasting. Nobody liked it, but people bought it because they felt they had to. A guy that used to live down the road from me when I was much younger, he actually had a can of it, and he's since passed away. And I don't know if his son's got it or whatever, but I would love to locate this can of Golden Mist. It was only sold around Kansas City as part of the Lazio crew that did this, you know. So anyhow, that's just a little rough draft, a little synopsis, whatever you want to call it, just a little inkling of it. There's a lot more that happened, and perhaps maybe I might do a one-off, or me and Topher might do a one-off on this. We've been wanting to do this for a long time, about all of the shenanigans. Now, this did not go into the latter years, or the, well, they're not latter now, the 70s, and that the whole takedown of the Kansas City mob scene, the Sabellas, Camisanos, all those guys. So, anyhow, it just focused on the golden era of what it's called. And this was a prohibition era, and also went into a little bit about Harry Truman. Harry Truman there was a big project going on in Kansas City, and anyhow, Harry, he got everybody's bids, and he didn't pick Pendergast's company. Pendergast came in there, and he said, "Why didn't you pick my company, Harry?" He said, "Next time, have the lowest bid." So. He didn't, supposedly Harry didn't do anything, you know, he didn't let him influence him at all, but they did help him get in.
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyhow, let's take our second break, then we're going to come back with some more of your stuff. That sound good?
All right.
All right.
Hey, look, I think we found land. Oh my God, I think we're safe. Oh no! It's the island of horrible jokes.
I dreamt I was a muffler. I woke up exhausted.
Our constant pursuit for a real knee slapper. It's strange insults from an alien. Real hilarity.
I smell something burning. Are you trying to think again?
As much fun as an electric can opener to the scrotum, two douchebags and a microphone. Now, from the makers of the Who Bit My Asshole board game comes the Rob Rad Jigsaw Puzzle. That's right, put Rob back together. This brilliant glossy photo of Rob wearing a loincloth in a rainforest is the perfect stocking stuffer. Order now and get a free butt plug keychain.
Hello. This is Satan. You might know me from my pet name, Inflation. I'm here to tell you that there's no better way to relax than listen to Two Douchebags and Microphone by a nice warm fire at night. I sit there and I reflect on all the souls I burned that day. Enjoy.
Tomorrow morning, while grinding your coffee beans for your double mocha latte, remember to not get your genitals caught in the grinder. It really hurts. And who can afford plastic surgery? Stay safe, everyone.
Rob,
please do the honors of the next story.
All right. Getting pulled over by the police is never fun. But
I can attest.
But one man's traffic stop has turned into a sizable payday. According to the American Civil Liberties Union, Gregory Bombard has been awarded $175,000 in a settlement after a state trooper pulled him over in 2018 and arrested him after he allegedly gave the cop the middle finger during a traffic stop. The state has not admitted to any wrongdoing in the case nor agreed to make any change to the police procedures. Sounds to me like they need to.
The organization
reported that the officer pulled Bombard over because he believed the man gave him the middle finger, which Bombard denied. When the traffic stop was over, Bombard cursed at the officer and flipped him the bird, which he admitted. So he's denying doing it the first time, but he admits doing it the second time. That prompted his arrest for disorderly conduct, which led to nearly a year's worth of criminal court proceedings before the charge was dismissed. While our client is pleased with the outcome, this incident should never have happened in the first place. ACLU of Vermont staff attorney Hillary Ritz said in a statement, "Police need to respect everyone's First Amendment rights, even for things they consider offensive or insulting. State legislatures need to do more to prevent unnecessary and unjustified police interactions like the one Mr. Bombard experienced by downsizing the footprint and broad authority of police in our communities."
Mm-hmm.
The original lawsuit filed by the ACLU in 2021 claimed Bombard's First Amendment rights of free speech and Fourth Amendment protections against unreasonable search and seizure were violated. He will receive $100,000 as a result of the settlement, with another $75,000 going to attorney fees.
Yeah, you know what? Let me put it like this, okay? If they would have saw that guy flipping off another person, would they have arrested him?
No.
No.
No, they wouldn't.
No. So why in the world could they arrest him for him doing that to a policeman?
Because it was towards a policeman.
Exactly.
And I've always had a problem with that.
Me too. Look, I'm on the cop's side. We need them there. We really need them there. But the thing is...
We do.
None of this nitpicking shit. We're going to burn and churn you because you flipped us off. And what I mean by burn and churn is what they do is they constantly bombard you with legal fees to defend different things that they throw at you. And that's bullshit. So that guy had to pay a lot of money just because he flipped off a cop, and that shouldn't be right. You know, you have a freedom of expression, I believe, right? Don't you? I mean, you know?
Yeah. Freedom of speech, freedom of expression.
Yeah, he wasn't hurting the policeman in any way.
No, he didn't touch the cop.
No. So therefore, a gesture, and I'll go a step further. There are some countries where a middle finger does not mean anything, and in some countries it's a greeting. So how can they prove that that's how he meant it? He didn't go, fuck you. Right?
No. Cop was just driving by and thought the guy flipped him off. Which the guy's denying, but... After he pulled him over, yeah.
Look, we know the guy did it with his answer, okay? We know he did it. But the problem I have is how do they know how he meant it? And if he did mean it like that, so? You know, he didn't go take away his birthday. You know, Yeah, I've got a real problem with that. And I think that any cop that does that, they need to investigate and make sure it doesn't happen again. So I don't want my cop going after a guy like that. I want my cop going after fucking real criminals. The breaking and enterings and the murderers and the drug dealers. I don't want him going after someone that flipped him off. So.
Yeah, I don't either.
Yeah. I mean, it's just common sense. So, and I think most people, if they're rational and not trying to get a point across would go along with that. So, anyhow, is that it, Rob?
Yeah, that was it on that one.
Okay. All right. What I'm going to do now is we've been talking about this a lot. So I put together a little segment here. And what this segment is it's going to illustrate how how brands went back to their older labels, their nostalgic labels. They, at first, they're going to do it temporary, but then they just left them because the resurgence in interest and popularity because they put these old logos back. Even Pepsi did it. I mean, it's got a little twist. It's not quite like the 80s emblem, but it's a lot more. You've seen the Pepsi, the newer one. It looks like the one out of the 1980s. But it's kind of like it's a little bit newer, but the most of the idea of the 80s logo is right there on it right now. So, all right, this is more than just a thing. Brands going back to their old logos, such as 80s logos, in some cases 70s and 60s logos. Brands that revive their old logos. The first one I can remember is Light Beer from Miller. This was supposed to be for a limited time. Remember when they first brought it back to the white cans? It was in a blue can. When they brought it back to the white cans, they said limited time, the retro label. So anyhow, it's been like that for about 8 years now. They're not bringing it back. They're not bringing the other new label back. They're leaving it the white label because that's what's sold. So, the blue label. Also, another problem with the blue logo is it looked like a Bud Light can. Do you remember the light cans I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, it looked like a Bud Light can too. So, anyhow. So the white label had a big resurgence, and now it's like another, like it was in the 80s, it's a better selling beer when it really looked kind of forgotten about under the new label. Yeah, the temporary label change is now on its 8th year. So the next one I noticed was RC Cola going back to the blue and white famous logo. I now see RC in more shelves and better placement. RC also got the Penn State contract over them re-upping with Pepsi, which was not a small feat. I reintroduced myself to it, which was not a small feat, because you know how I feel about sodas and real sugar, right?
Yeah.
I reintroduced myself to it just because I remember the logo from my childhood, and now I drink it in favor of other colors whenever I don't have a real sugar one available. Another one is Ham's Beer. Went back to the Evergreen Trees logo. This has caused more interest in the beer and resulting in it being put back on shelves and being sold in numerous clubs and restaurants and bars as well. You know, so I told you the other day when I had to partake in a Ham's, right? Well, that's because I recognized the label from childhood. And I was like, you know what? But it was good. It was really good. But it was the reason it got my interest at all is because it was an old label. And I was like, wow, cool. I remember those vaguely. So I had one. And you know what? I'll drink it again. So see, it worked there too, right? I do still like the beer of Ham's. But, I mean, I like it a lot more now that it has a retro label. Schlitz was another beer that had switched back to the original logo with the original formula. This has piqued people's interest and led to a resurgence in the brand's popularity. I believe a major brewing company was behind buying the Schlitz formula and its logo, and they're the ones that brought it back to life. Remember, I can't remember what brewing... Can you remember what brewing company it was that took... they had a newer Schlitz that would tasted like paint thinner. And they came out with a big advertising campaign, and I can't remember what brewing company it was, but...
I can't think of which one right offhand. I remember that, though.
Yeah. They bought the Schlitz Brewing Company and the rights to it and the original formula, and they started brewing it again, and it started selling much better. Because before, it was known the beer that would take the paint off your car and also make you shit really bad, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, if you ever needed paint off of something, you could throw a Schlitz on it. The old one, not the one they have now. Lay's Potato Chips was in on the logo switching too, but it was more of a subtle one. The logos are much closer to being the same, but there were smaller differences that they brought back that when you put them side by side, you're going to go, oh yeah, I remember that one. That was the first one I remember, and this is the second one. You know, it just kind of, they kind of outlined it bolder, you know what I mean? This one was a little bit more of an older looking one. They went back to it, but I'm not sure if they stuck with it or not. I'm not sure about that one. And I'm not sure how well that worked either, because I don't, you know, I see people drinking sodas or whatever, and I, you know, and I see the product placement, but Lay's has always been all over, you know, everywhere anyhow, so I'm not sure about that one. So, anyhow.
Okay. I just looked it up.
Okay.
Droz used to own.
Yes.
Schlitz.
Yes.
And then Pabst bought them.
It was Pabst.
In 1982.
Because they, yeah. Pabst was behind bringing the Pabst beer brand back too. So I guess that's what they do now. You know, they brought both beers back, and they're both decent sellers. Really pretty intelligent. And the Pabst Brewing, I told you about the guerrilla marketing that I witnessed firsthand about it. You know, they had hot chicks come into bars with short shorts or short mini skirts, big cowboy looking boots, and they're like, they bought everybody rounds of Pabst, and they did this all over Westport, all over the country, the entertainment districts. And Pabst wasn't anywhere mentioned near the first selling beers. It was way back there. So they did this for about a year. They went around and they had these hot chicks just barge into a bar, and they buy everybody a couple rounds of Pabst, and then they start giving away big belt buckles, hats, shirts of Pabst. Suddenly, Pabst became cool again. Before that, it was the beer your grandpa drank, and nobody wanted to touch it. After that, because these hot chicks came and they're all dressed up nice and hot looking and started handing out Pabst, it became the in beer. Colleges, hipsters, mods, muddleheads, everybody started drinking Pabst again. It's since cooled off a little bit, but it still sells so much better than it used to. And I guess they're behind Schlitz too, so... Good work, Pabst Brewing Company. Are they still out of Milwaukee, or does it say?
Yeah, I think it said Milwaukee, yeah.
Okay, yeah, they're one of the few beer companies that actually stayed there. So, a lot of them moved out. So, anyhow, that is pretty much all I had. I went into how Pepsi changed their logo to, like, the 80s logo, but it's got some variances, and it's a little bit different. But Pepsi's one of those brands that they'll get rid of that logo too. They're not like Coca-Cola that kept the same logo for years. They're different. They like to evolve and do different things. Even though they went back to the retro logo, I believe that they're going to progress and do another logo again, because that's just the way they operate. And also, they sell good enough, they don't have to. So anyhow, that's the end of that report. I was just trying to illustrate how I see them doing these retro labels, and it actually works. It works very well. Does it work on you, Rob?
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah.
I hadn't touched an RC for years until they came back with the old label.
Me too.
All of a sudden, it just caught my eye, and I just had to have one.
Me too. It's the same stuff.
You know?
It's the same stuff I stayed away from for years. And it was the original logo. I remember getting them. I used to go to Westline, which was about 4 miles away from Cleveland. This is after hours, whenever the station there closed and we wanted a drink. We'd find somebody with a car. We'd go to Westline and we'd buy it out of the machine there. There was an RC machine out in front of this little general store that was closed. We'd all get an RC and then go back to Cleveland. So, anyhow, Rob, we turn to you.
All right. Millions of drivers could face fines of up to $250 within days as cities begin implementing new road surveillance technology. State lawmakers passed a new road law that makes it easier for cities to mount monitors above the streets. Connecticut, a state with over 2.6 million drivers, passed a law that allows cities to implement noise monitoring cameras.
Mm-hmm.
The devices will function similarly to red light cameras, issuing tickets to drivers based on their car's engine noise rather than their driving behavior.
Okay, is it just engine noise and not like big bass and other types of music being played really loud? It's just car noise.
Well, it's just saying engine noise.
Okay.
I think it could go deeper than that.
Well, I'm wondering if this is a gateway law to where they could just like start searching a car because it's too loud.
Yeah.
In one direction or another, whether it's music or a souped up car, a Challenger or something, and they're revving it up just to be, you know, I was a dick when I had that loaner. I was going around revving it up to people all the time, so I get it. Yeah, this could be a gateway to me, and I'm very leery of it. I don't like the idea of it because you have a louder car. They can stop you. Then what can they do? Can they pilfer through your car? See what I'm saying? They could go,
yeah.
Hey, man, I think I smell pot. Well, it's legal now, but, you know, say it isn't legal where you're at. You know, that would give them probable cause, and that's what they do a lot of times anyhow. So I thought I smelled weed. Then they get to look through your car, which I think is wrong. But anyhow, go ahead with it. I'm sorry.
The new law takes away the state-level red tape for local governments to put the tech on the roads. The state also passed some regulations around the noise-capturing tech. All monitoring devices will cap engine noises at 80 decibels.
Okay.
Owners, which, you know, that's going to go into people needing to fix their exhaust. And, what about these, you know, diesel pickup trucks?
Yeah, because they traditionally have a louder one. What about glass mufflers? Glass packs, too. They could.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't like that law at all.
First, drivers will receive a warning after a monitor picks up loud road noises.
Where's this at?
Second, it's in Connecticut.
Okay.
A second offense will result in a $100 fine. Drivers will receive a $250 ticket for a third offense.
Okay, wow.
Yeah.
Pretty significant for just having a little bit of noise, I guess. I mean.
Okay, noisy cars explained here. Here are some of the modifications that regulators are.
Okay, this is what I wanted. Yeah, this is what I wanted to hear.
Engine and exhaust modifications, extremely popular to car enthusiasts. Dozens of aftermarket systems can increase a car's performance and make the vehicle louder. Other drivers may change the muffler to outright burner or exhaust pipes to increase airflow.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you can make your modifications. Just don't go over 80 decibels.
You see, and I don't think 80 decibels is that much, really.
No, I don't think so either.
That sounds extremely shady to me. I don't like that law at all.
Further down it says, Connecticut is not alone. Michigan also passed similar laws.
Michigan?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're fighting the noise level, what they're doing.
Well, I can understand. Yeah, I mean, you know, we're having a problem with sideshows in Kansas City. Are you familiar with sideshows, what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. If anyone doesn't realize what it is it's car racing. But what happens is they form a circle and they block off roads and they start racing in the middle of it. And I mean, a lot of it's like car tricks, you know, spinning around, stuff like that. But the thing is they shut down big roads and do this routinely. And even the cops are there a lot of times. There's not much they can do because there's so many people partaking in it. Okay, well, I mean, maybe this is designed to get out some stuff like that. You know, get the louder cars. I don't know. But Kansas City does have a lot of noise from them because I can hear them at night on 150, and we live 3 miles away from 150, and I can hear it. I can hear it as plain as day. So, maybe there's some validity to it, but I don't like the broad strokes of the law. I think there should be more rules than just that.
Yeah.
Okay. And
like you said, 80 decibels, I think that's a little low.
I think it's a little low, too. I think that's designed to where they could get you stopped if they want to.
Yeah.
Yeah, and not for that reason, but they're going to act like it was for that reason, which I have a big problem with. So, got a little bit of an interesting story here. You know Sweaty Teddy? Uncle Teddy?
Yeah.
Yeah, Ted Nugent. Rocker Ted Nugent is revealing he was in agony after testing positive for coronavirus, months after he said the virus was not a real pandemic. And he's changed his tune on this too now. I thought I was dying, Nugent said. Now, hang on. I'm not saying yay or nay on the vax. I'm not making any political statement at all. I'm just reading this story that Ted Nugent contributed in with comments. Okay, so if anyone thinks I'm saying yay or nay, I'm not. We're dick jokes. We've been proudly serving dick jokes since 2022, right, Rob?
Yep.
So, Teddy said, I thought I was dying, Nugent said in a Facebook Live video posted Monday. I literally could hardly crawl out of bed the last few days, adding, so I was officially tested positive for COVID-19 today. In the video shot at his Michigan ranch, the Cat Scratch Fever singer reportedly uses racist slurs to refer to COVID-19. Oh, I'm thinking he's calling it like the Chinese virus or something. And this person here, they need to do their research. That's bigoted slurs to refer to COVID-19. And reiterates his previous stance that he wouldn't be getting the vaccine because he claims wrongly that nobody knows. I don't know about wrongly. This is what this article says. It says he claims. They say wrongly. I'm saying he claims. I'm leaving that out. Nobody knows what's in it. Nugent, a supporter of the ex-president Donald Trump, previously called the pandemic a scam and has rallied against public health restrictions. He has repeated a narrative pushed by conservative media and disputed by health experts that suggests the official death count from the coronavirus is inflated. And I can go into this a little bit without actually going on one side or another. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I get what they're saying about it being inflated, and I'm not saying this is right or wrong. I'm indifferent about this on this podcast. I have my feelings. You'll never know what they are. Okay. Someone could have terminal cancer, and they're months away from dying. They get COVID, and they die. The official cause of death would be COVID then. That's what they're referring to. So, I don't know where, and really, seriously, I don't know where you count that as a COVID death. The guy could have lived another couple of months. So, I know this. Nobody ever dies from AIDS. They die from complication to AIDS.
Right.
You see, they get a cold or something, they don't have an immune system, they die. Same way with cancer victims that have advanced cancer and they're sickly and they're going to die. Their body is just devastated by chemotherapy and cancer, and they get a cold and they die. The only difference is AIDS, they actually are a little bit more honest about it. They say complication to AIDS. Cancer, they say cancer. So, you see what I'm getting at here? I don't know whether you believe or disbelieve that these were COVID deaths or not, but this is the facts that I'm presenting to you about it is a lot of these deaths, people had terminal cancer or something like that. Now, I'm not saying whether that's right or wrong. I'm just saying that that's what these guys are saying. So, anyhow, that's really all I got from that, because the rest gets pretty political. And
And
I got it from a liberal source, so it really kind of, and like I said, I'm not saying yay or nay. You guys will never know what I think. But it was really kind of a liberal slanted thing, so I'm just, that's it. Anyhow, there you go. Sweaty Teddy was really sick, and he admits that the COVID virus isn't a hoax now. So there you go. Hey, Al, Rob, you got something?
Yeah. You've heard the term Roger, haven't you?
Yeah.
Roger has become a go-to expression to acknowledge a message most often uttered over the phone or a radio transmitter when doing something vaguely important. However, the origin of this cool sign-off is less well-known, and no, it doesn't have anything to do with a guy named Roger.
This is cool. I've never known this. Please, go on.
All right. The term could be traced back to the early days of radio when crackly lines and muffled voices meant communications had to be short and sweet. Particularly in World War II, when two-way radio communications had a big break. Roger was widely used by the British and Americans to acknowledge a command or statement. This is because R was represented by the word Roger in the old phonetic alphabet.
Mm-hmm.
To say R was shorthand for saying received, as in message received. Simply, Roger is much easier to hear in the heat of battle than received or even just R.
Okay.
So, due to the static and stuff, they needed a word that they could understand. You know, with bombs going off, whatever, rather.
Yeah.
And R would just be too short.
Yeah, yeah.
And
so
received would be, you know, it's a
too long
word.
Yeah. So they simply just started saying Roger.
Yeah.
Cool. Never known that. Do you want to keep going, or you want to call this good?
Actually, I'm a little tired.
All right, you worked today. And actually, I had a long day, too. So, anyhow. Oh, hi, Opal. Hi, Jimmy. Hi, Ricky. And all of Dodge City, Kansas. We love you guys.
Hi, Grandma. Hi, Jimmy. Hi, Ricky.
Stay tuned for your little thank you we have. It's in a future episode. I'm going through them in order of our top markets, and that would be the newly added megaphone thanking our top markets. They are on the list. So you guys hang on, but we will continue to say hi to Opal and Jimmy and Ricky. As long as we do a show, we will continually say hi to them. But as for the rest of Dodge City, this promo is going to have to do it for you, right?
Yep.
All right. Thank you guys for listening. Good night, assholes.
Good night, assholes.
Oh, no. Looks like the show's over, kids. Mark has explosive diarrhea and can't afford a wireless mic. Fear not, assholes. They'll be back invading your ear holes soon.